Blog Talk Radio.
Almighty Yahweh promises to gather everyone he scatters. I am a Hebrew. We are Hebrews.
I am a Hebrew, I was born in Texas.
I am a Hebrew, and I am from Florida.
I'm a Hebrew, and I was born in California.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in San Diego, California.
I'm a Hebrew, I was born in Indiana.
I am a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Spain.
私はヘブルで、日本で生まれました。
Soy hebrea, nací en Puerto Rico.
I am a Hebrew. From West Africa, Liberia.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Straight Lake.
We are Hebrew.
Around my sister.
Bless you and greetings. Hallelujah. From Straight Way, Tennessee. I'm your host tonight, Sister Ashley. Welcome to another show. Welcome to a live show. I have a small 3-person audience at this moment. Y'all want to give a big hallelujah?
Hallelujah!
All right. They're at a distance, too, so it might have been a little drowned out. Thanks to the chat room for all your feedback, your questions, your shaloms, your blessings. Thanks for Sakina, who's here faithfully, asking you guys to give a sound check. That is our routine. Give me some tens if you hear me, if you hear me clear. Bless you, Mother Jennifer, there in Georgia. Let's jump states. Let's go to Georgia. Let's hear from you. Go ahead.
Shalom and bless you, Sister Ashley. I hear you clear. It's good to be here for another episode of Sister to Sister. Looking forward to seeing everyone at the feast, and I'm looking forward to tonight's show as well. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. Tonight we'll feature Sister Chris. Hallelujah. Sister Chris Muir. If you've ever watched Lion's Den, then you know there's a woman behind the man. Hallelujah. And we'll speak to one of them tonight. Check this out. I also have Sister Brittany here. Brittany will be giving a small shalom, greetings, and just a small, I don't know, just chiming in right before we get a jump and get started. 3 days until we blow trumpets together. 12 days until we wear white together. Hallelujah. And it's much deeper meaning than just what I'm stating. And 17 days until we share booths. Hallelujah. Man, glory. Fall already, Chef. And you know it's her favorite feast. It's time, she says. Hallelujah. We look so forward to it. And then the long, dreary, dead season awaits. But we will stand. Hallelujah. Hey, all praises to the Most High, yeah. Truly for his deliverance. I hope you're grabbing a hold of it and running with it. For his blood, I hope you're covered in it. Hallelujah. For his breath, I praise his holy name. I thank you for my husband and my master who covers me so well. Strength to him and his body. Please continue to lift up your deacons and leaders and all the men and husbands of the ministry. Hallelujah. That they not faint, that the knees not grow weak, that no women ever deceive them. I want to give a shout out to all the women here on my community. I say mine, not because I possess it, but because I live here. Shout out to every woman here. There is every woman here has blessed me. Hallelujah. From Judith all the way up has blessed me, given me something, done something for me, honored me in some kind of way, grown with me, and endured me. Hallelujah. So we are becoming family. I praise the Most High Yah for all of them. Mother Jennifer, just share your heart really quick before we kick off our conversation.
Yes, ma'am. Sister Ashley, I just want to give all praise and honor and glory to the Most High Yah for everything that he does to keep us, protect us, and to save us, and to show us and tell us who we are. I want to acknowledge my head, Elder Rufus, a man of faith. You know, as we listen to the message on Sabbath, the pastor talking about faith and, you know, what faith really is. And I remember the thing that really drew me to Elder Rufus when we first met was his great level of faith. And I have seen nothing but an increase in him and his level of faith from the beginning, from the day I've met him. And he has grown even more and more in that. And I just truly do love and admire him for that. And to our shepherd, again, for showing us how to properly exercise faith, how to deal with unbelief, how to deal with doubt, how to walk in victory. You know, just we are so well fed here in this ministry. And I know that it takes a huge sacrifice from a shepherd such as Pastor Dow. So blessings to you, Pastor, blessings to your family. And that's all I have, Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. Absolutely special thank you to Pastor Dow. All we ever really talk about on the show is what we hear from him and what our husbands also glean from him, what we also put our hearts to study and to be good Bereans and disciples, and really just how our hearts' meditations and our conversations are from week to week, year after year, after talking to so many people. Hallelujah. Here comes Sister Brittany. Hey, Grandma Vicky would like anyone to know, because this is helpful information, that if you're a saint that's selling at the marketplace, remember it's good to have cash and change. If you're able to do that, it's good to have cash and change. The Wi-Fi is often poor when that many people are in our dining hall facility down the hill. So those shopping, please bring cash as well. Cash and change, it does help if you want to make some purchases. I personally love Tamika's deodorant. I personally love, oh my gosh, I shouldn't even go down the list. I know Sister LaShonda is someone that you should meet as well. She's got some good healing cream for pain relief and for soreness, for joints. I didn't prep any type of advertisement, so maybe I could have spoke a little better. But she does a really good job with that, as well as some homemade cloth pads. I have some other, you know, I love my black soap. Everybody use black soap, maybe from Mother Carol, from Carol. B2G will be there. I'm sure, I'm thinking Sister Gabby will be there. Who? Granny Barb with the goat milk soap. Hallelujah. Herbal Connections. Praise be the Most High Yah for blessing everyone's hands. And I hope everyone just has a joyful time selling, whether you make a dime or not, whether you sell a thing or not. We're not here to take from the saints. We just want to show our talents, give, and barter. No, I won't be at the... at a table. No, I will not have a table. If you're interested in the energy bits that Pastor spoke of on his blog talk show, energy bits, they really are incredible. There's 13 salads in just one pill. That's my best way to explain it, truly. And especially for our children who don't eat enough greens, we love to give them to our children. So energybits.com, use promo code STRAIGHTHERBS. STRAIT herbs, straight herbs. You can get 20% off. Yes, it's pricey. Lasts a long time if you do it right. Step on up, Sister Brittany. Sister Brittany, what day did you get here to visit with us?
I believe I got here on August the 5th.
August the 5th. Thank you for speaking up. Nice, clear voice for everybody to hear. Hallelujah. You don't even got to put tens, but you can if you want to just be fun and play with your fingers out there. Tens. Brittany. You're here in Sophisa Tabernacles, until the King comes, right? Just whatever Elder says. We had a joke earlier, her and I, so just a little joke out there. But, guys, I wanted y'all to hear her. You're originally from North Carolina?
Yes.
Yes, and you've been here for weeks, and you've been walking the hill for weeks.
Oh, yes, the
you've been doing good.
Hill.
The deliverance hill. Hallelujah. The massive deliverance hill. Beautiful. Hey, talk to me. Talk a little testimony or something about your experience since you've been here. But wait, this is not your first time. So let everybody know how many times you've even been coming, huh? How many years?
Oh, man. I think I've been coming around 8 years. I may have to check.
8 years.
I mean, maybe 8.
So we're talking to a soldier here. Stood through the test of time. Yes,
yes.
Through the flames. So hallelujah for that. Sister Brittany, everyone says hallelujah and thank yous from the chat room already. Tell us something.
Oh, man. I've had so many things happened since I've been here, but first, just thank you to the Most High for giving me the opportunity to even come here to be able to fellowship and dwell for a time among the saints here at Straightway, and bless you to Pastor and his entire home, the entire community. Everyone has been so hospitable, so welcoming, so motivating, and so encouraging to me while I have been here, and I just bless the Most High Yah for that. If I can start with the natural.
Absolutely.
First. Okay, so I was supposed to stay originally for 3 weeks.
Okay.
So I brought all of my clothes in one carry-on suitcase that you can just take on an airplane.
Uh-huh. Carry-on.
Right. Carry-on.
Not even the 5x5.
Right. The carry-on. And that has really helped me kill my flesh. I just really learned we as women, we have too much stuff.
Yes, indeed.
We have so much stuff. And things that we really don't even need. And me just living out of that one carry-on, I have been just the most content with that I have been in my entire life.
You have a laundry day.
I do have a laundry
what
day.
What day is your laundry day?
Second day.
So you only wash once a week.
I only wash
Excuse
once
me,
a
ma'am.
Week.
You're not washing everything you take off, by
no.
the way. So that even makes it less,
yes.
You know,
yes.
choose less from. Okay,
right.
Continue.
Okay. Wow, the Most High. I remember my very, very first time that I called into Straightway Blog Talk Radio. This was years and years ago with Pastor. And one thing that he told me, he said, go on straightwaytruth.com, look at the picture of the saints there. That is your family. And I heard what he said, but I really wasn't listening to what he said. My idea of family was just natural family, you know, the cookouts, you know, the holiday celebrations with them, you know, but then you need a vacation from the family.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
You know, just to kind of clear your mind. But I really am starting to really understand family and community since being here.
Hallelujah.
Really learning to serve your sister, serve your brother without expectations, without exceptions, without limitations, without saying, oh, well, Sister Ashley asked me to do something, so I can do that, but if Sister such and such and so-and-so asked me, you know, I have things to do. So really learning just to have the mind of a servant, really petitioning the Father for his mind, the heart of a servant, and really just to obey. You know, Pastor has told us that we as women, that we don't know how to love, and we show our love through obedience. And just really, for me, learning, you know, if a sister is over a task, it's saying, hey, how can I help? Where do you need me? And just really obeying, not giving my opinions, not giving my suggestions, but just saying, okay, yes, ma'am, and just doing what you're told to do.
Not having your list of what you would like to conquer that day above.
Right.
what she says, right?
Yes, most definitely. And that has been the greatest thing for me, also walking that Deliverance Hill. You know, before I came here, I really had so many questions, lots of anxieties and worries. And when you walk that hill, yeah, all that stuff just doesn't matter. You really just praying to the Father just for you to get up and get down.
Hallelujah.
So that has really been a blessing for me. So I glorify the Most High. I've been enjoying my time here, really seeing myself more than I have, you know, ever before.
Why do you think that's the deal? Why is it that when you come to a place where people dwell and abide together like we do, honestly, what's the deal with that testimony? It's so true, and it's said by so many who experience it firsthand. So what's the deal?
Wow, I think the first thing is that you have to have a spirit that's pliable, teachable, that, you know, you're really seeking Yah. The Father is not going to go past your will. So if you're, you know, stubborn, hard-headed, you're not going to see yourself. You know, the Father can't minister to you. He can't show you as He sees you if you're, you know, all wrapped up in yourself. That's first. I think second is that, you know, straightway, there's so much going on. We're so busy here on the land now, but you really have so much time to spend with the Father. For me, being where I'm at originally, there's nothing there to really agitate the demons, agitate the devils. But, you know, nothing does that like the saints.
Right. When all y'all's sheep are dirty gray, that's what Pastor used to say. It's like, who's going to refine you, right?
So now I get to see myself. I get to be corrected. I get to be instructed. I get to be perfected.
Self-reflected.
Right.
Yes.
Most definitely.
Yes. I like that. She speaks really well, huh? Tell them your educational degrees and background.
Oh, man. Well, I went to graduated high school, went to college, went to law school, graduated law school.
Wow. Yes. Incredible. How many years is that? Do you even know?
I think that's 8 total.
Right. 18, Chef said.
I did 4 years of college, 3 years of law school, so that's 7.
7. Right. Wow. And a few tests later.
Oh, yeah.
Bam. What do you have? What is that nice little license that you have?
Yeah, somewhere. I don't even know where it is.
Right. Oh, hallelujah. Bless y'all. Hey, before I let you go, anything else from your heart?
No,
I'm going to say something. Did you or I talk about what you were going to say?
No, not at all.
Do you have a clue what we're going to conversate about on the show?
No, you didn't mention
No? Awesome, because you introduced our conversation so well.
Hallelujah.
That's how Yah does it.
Yes,
you make me think of 1 Peter 5:5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. All of you be subject one to another. Be clothed with humility, for the Most High resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. That's what you make me think of. That's really the reflection tonight. We're going to talk to Sister Chris on community and get her heart.
Hallelujah.
So thank you so much.
Yes,
can we blow a shofar for Sister Brittany? Go on, Chef. Bless you. Hallelujah. Not to mention, Sister Brittany's really serious about deliverance. Very serious. You know it's fresh off her lips, Mother Jennifer. She says Deliverance Mountain. You know she's not shying away from deliverance when she speaks about it. She literally says you get deliverance when you hike that mountain. Hallelujah. Bless you, Mother Jennifer. What was your heart after hearing her words?
Hallelujah, Sister Ashley. Bless you, Sister Brittany. I thought it was just really good that Sister Brittany brought up, you know, servitude, how servitude has no conditions at all. You don't have expectations. You don't have really your own mind or your own will. You just serve regardless, not expecting anything in return. And it's so much like love. You know, there's no conditions when it comes to love, and the same thing with servitude. So I thought that was very good that she brought that out. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. We've had Sister Chris on mute. Please, Sister Chris, go on and unmute yourself. Let's hear your voice. Welcome live to the show, Sister Chris Muir. Hallelujah. Can you hear me, Sister Chris? Sister Chris. I need a little jingle.
Shalom, Sister
go.
Ashley. Bless you.
Oh,
bless you, Mother.
Bless you, bless you, bless you. Sister Chris, please, let's get a few more words. Make sure we can hear you. Welcome to the show. Thanks for calling in. None of these questions that I'm going to ask her or this conversation that we plan tonight is pre-planned at all, so we're going to see how it goes. Say a few words, Sister Chris. Go ahead.
Bless you, Daughters of Zion. Thank you for having me here on the show. I'm so excited and to participate in this conversation. I want to acknowledge the Most High Yah just for his tender mercies that are new for me each day. I'm just so grateful for just giving me the ears to hear, for calling me out of darkness and bringing me to straight way. Hallelujah. I'd like to also just thank my husband just for his leadership, for his love, for being the best friend I've ever had, for leaving me without excuse, for pouring into me all these years, for being so faithful and just so loving. I told him the other day he is my favorite person, and I'm just very grateful for him. I want to acknowledge Pastor Corey, being the first shepherd I met when I came to Straight Way. It was things that he said to me that are with me till this day, and I'm just forever grateful. And also all my Goshen family, I love you all dearly, and that's all I got for now.
Praise Yah. Hallelujah. Hey, listen, I really had it in my mind, if you guys know, if you've been listening for a while, you know I recently had a child, my husband's fourth son, and I had just reached out briefly to Sister Chris, no really professional planning of what the conversation would be about, but just wanting her to come on live on the show. So had a male child stayed in for a very short period of time. It's, what, almost 6 weeks or so, I guess, that I stayed in for purification. Now I'm out. Now we're bringing her on anyway. We had her lined up, and it just works to continue some of these interviews. If you listened last week, we also had Brother Steve, even Sister Aya, actually. We had her planned, and Sister Carrie. So we're just running down this list of previously planned shows, and it's falling right into place. I enjoyed Sister Brittany's words, and she said a lot. She was talking about submission and stuff. So I want to go first. Mother Jennifer, are you ready?
Oh, yes, I'm ready, Sister Ashley. I did hear a little bit of feedback when Sister Chris was speaking, just a slight echo in the background, and I don't know if anyone else heard it or not.
Okay, please put in the chat if you did. I didn't. Good. Mother Jennifer, you typed it in. Just when Sister Chris heard it here too, Sister Aya said. Well, we'll see how this goes. I think Sister Chris, are you somewhere where there's an echo?
Yes, ma'am. I'll talk more clearly into my phone. I hope that helps.
Okay, hallelujah. And oftentimes, keep it off. Good. Keep it off the speakerphone. Praise Yah. Where was I going? Oh, okay. I'm going over to my phone. Never shared this information before. It doesn't really matter that all of you know. We have a polo group for sisters who are married to the heads of communities or the elders or the deacons. And we communicate mainly, mostly, feast time. That's about it. Rarely ever does anyone communicate or do a video outside of that. Very rarely ever. I remember Mother Carol doing a video to everyone maybe some months ago. It was winter. It was snowing. She was walking the hill, going to the gym, and she was telling everyone to please store food, to continue to store for the communities for the hard times that will come. Other than that, just so you know, we communicate a lot about the feast days, what we're bringing, what we're sharing, et cetera. So in that group, a lot of you that are our family, you know these names, but I'm going to say them anyway. And there are a few more that should be on this list, I just noticed tonight, so that can change soon. Granny Diane Becker, Sister Alex and Sister Ajani in Goshen, Sister Adrienne Love, Ashley in North Carolina, Sister Batsion, Sister Betty in Michigan, even my Sister Bobby, who is my right hand, Sister Bonnie, Sister Bree, advised to be Amelia. Y'all know all these women so far, right? Sister Candace Gorman, Mother Carol, Sister Erica Perez, Sister Erica Polidor, Sister Esther Regis, Evelyn, Sister Gabby, y'all know Gabby, Sister Ajali, Sister Jasmine, up in Kansas City, Mother Jennifer, Sister Carell, Sister Chris Meir, who's live tonight, Sister Latoya, Sister Lisa Becker, Sister Nellie, Sister Koya, Sister Rachel in New York, Sister Rachel in Kentucky, Rachel Fairley, Sister Chandray, Sister Shalea, my Sister Summer, Sister Tina, Sister Toma, and Sister Tanasa. That's 37 women. 37 women. Yes, there's a few more recently. The names don't matter at all whatsoever, but I just want to say that not a single one of them asked to lead women. When I use the word lead, it's simply just instructions for projects or conquering the day's tasks. We don't spiritually lead or mislead or misguide anyone. We all should be speaking with reverence when we help anyone spiritually with deliverance. We should all be walking in the fear of Yah. The name of the group is called Growing Examples, purposely, because we're all out in front of a lot of sisters. And by no means, I mean this, are we any more important than anyone listening or anyone who didn't have their name called. We're only on this earth for a short period of time, a vapor of mist, and we're doing a role that was given to us, literally assigned to each of us by a man of the ministry, under the authority of the ministry, running in order of the Most High Yah, because we dwell communally and together in so many different home locations, there has to be someone, like Mother Diane, Granny Diane and Mother Diane, she has said, it's like having a mom, you know? Not that each of these are a mom. I'm just meaning in general, you had a mother growing up, you had a mom, you had an auntie, you had a grandma, you had someone in your family who even gave you instruction. So now in this family, you should have no problem having a woman gather details for the daily tasks or whatever is assigned or passed down to them. You should have no problem saying yes, ma'am, and conquering the task. We've never talked about this aspect of community. I'm going to jump to Mother Jennifer first before we dive into Sister Chris's scenarios. And we just want to open up the dialogue this way. It can go many different ways tonight, but Mother Jennifer, go ahead.
I think it's very good, Sister Ashley, to bring out the perspective that, you know, the women on the list whose names you called off, excuse me, that none of them to be in the position of leading women, you know, is not something that was asked for. It is something that they've been trusted with. And when you have someone in a position that they have been trusted with, you should have a desire as their sister, as their daughter, you know, whomever you might be in their life, you should have a desire to see them succeed in whatever they do. So when duties are delegated, you should be the first one to be on board to help support them in whatever way is needed. And the best supporters are those who are the ones who support behind the scenes, who don't need all the accolades, who don't need all the praise, who don't need all the show. You know, the ones who are going to support no matter what. Those are the best supporters. So I think it was very good that you started the conversation off with, you know, none of them asked for this position. And it's always very helpful when you have women who will come beside you and support you in that role. Sister Ashley.
Absolutely. And when you haven't been asked to be in the role, but it's been maybe assigned to you or given to you, most definitely you first have to grow. You first have to see yourself. You have to change. You have to be endured. You have to learn. You have to learn humanity. You have to learn those who labor amongst you, right? So we are not any different when it comes to subjected nature of the woman, for example, flesh. We're no different. Sister Kiara Higgins also being a right hand to the women up there, or at least getting the job done of her great things about her. So she's another name that comes to mind. But at the same time, we all have to grow. So you're going to see things in us. No man according to the flesh, but by the Spirit. And most definitely, it's a role that is it comes with great fear and reverence and respect. You know, you wanna be the person that you want others to be for you. And so it's a growing process. But let's jump to Sister Chris. Sister Chris, did you want to share anything before I ask you your first question?
Yes, ma'am. I'm ready for the first question.
Great. All right. Sister Chris is married to Daniel Muir. Let's pretend none of us know her, right? Maybe some of you know some personal details about her. Maybe some of you caught even our show where I've used her as an example. She was a NFL wife. So that's a very different life that none of us have lived. And now she lives on community with a growing in her bond and strength with women there in Indiana. Tell me, what was or how did Brother Daniel Muir say to you, this is what we're going to do? We're going to, whatever it was, what did he say? Did he say we're going to look for land? Did he say we're going to live together? What was that whole conversation or communication like, if you can take us there?
Yes, ma'am. So it's so funny because for those of us who know Brother Daniel, you know that when he hears truth, he agrees with it immediately. And when he heard the shepherd, our shepherd, Pastor Dow, talking about community and what that meant, and as he described it in the word and common unity and all things in common, and the saints were right there with Brother Samuel and Sister Ashley, and he said, when we gonna start community? Immediately, he was already sold on it, and he was like, we just need to buy land, and it was just immediate. And so that was the same way he would talk about food storage, and I always laugh when I think about that because I had no idea what any of that meant. And I was thinking, like, okay, so if we're going to be in the wilderness, are we going to be pulling these Mylar buckets and 5-gallon buckets through the wilderness? Like, I had no idea what it meant, but I was right there with them, Mylaring, storing food, even though it was just all above me at that point. And but the moment he heard the truth, he was ready for it.
Did you know at that time who was going to live with you or who was going to join to you when you came together in common unity on one ground and one land, et cetera?
No, ma'am. My expectation was just that those who were among us would be those who would be with us. And at that time, and still this day, it was Brother Samuel and Sister Ashley. And I speak highly of them because we've been together since the beginning. And so I just knew it would be us, but I didn't know who else would be there with us.
I remember, hey, man, Sister Ashley, bless you. You know, I would talk to her even years ago. And it's really nice, by the way, pause. To begin to know a lot of you for years now, you know. Mother Jennifer and I have been doing a show 9 years, right? And some of you I've known for, there goes Brittany, you heard her tonight, 8 years. Like, we should be, you know, functioning as a family, a lot of us. A lot of us. All right, so back to this, but Sister Ashley, I remember her wanting to really live on a community. I mean, she really, really had it in her heart. Sometimes, Ashley, if I can throw you out there, we would even talk about the fears that would be presented to her that maybe she wouldn't, you know? Like, what if she never did, you know? I haven't thought about that in a long time. Let's jump to Mother Jennifer. Do you have a question?
I do have a question. You know, Sister Aya actually brings up a really good point. I was going to save this question for later, but it's in the chat room now. Sister Aya says, wonderful woman, our only real NFL wife. You know, and you think about Brother Daniel, you know, and his success in the NFL and how, you know, he found the truth and he's all in. And, you know, and so many others have gone that way as well, but the women didn't stick. So I want to ask Sister Chris, you know, what was it in you that gave you just an unwavering faith to follow no matter what?
Yes, ma'am, Mother. I've gotten this question so much, and I thought a lot about this. The difference immediately that I would say just on the immediate surface level is that I love my husband, and I always have, and I followed him from, we've known each other since I was 17 and he was 19. And I have followed him from college to city, place to place, career to career, having little to a lot to enough. And there was no other option for me. Like, the wives that left, they just never had it in their hearts to stay. And they must have, I assume, have always been there for other reasons. But for myself, there was no other option. It was no way that I would have ever left my husband because he wanted to be righteous. Like, it never made sense to me. And I know that he has always had a heart for the Father. And I knew that no matter what, he would choose yeah, even before we knew what we know now. And I would have never wanted to or even thought that I would come in between him and Yah in any kind of way. But I knew then that whatever it was that the Father was revealing to him, I wanted to be a part of it. And I wanted to know the Father the way he was learning the Father. And that's turned out to be nothing but a blessing for me.
Hallelujah.
Beautiful.
Sister Ashley?
Yes, go ahead. Thank you, Mother. I was waiting on you. I enjoy that answer. I can tell you have pondered it. It's very genuine. So let's get into the grind. You live with women. You live with people of like-minded faith. And have you ever loved another woman in your life before, maybe a sister, maybe a friend, any other woman in your life? Have you ever loved her?
So I grew up just my brother and I, we were 7 years apart, and I always, like, longed for a sister, and I've had friendships that I had from as early as 6 years old that, you know, I could still be in contact with today. When I look back at it, it was always pretty surface level. And only now am I truly capable of being the friend that they actually need. And when they need truth, they do call me, even now. However, you know, when I think about did I truly love, I realize what that means now. And that happens with that sharpening that the word speaks about, iron sharpening iron, and being able to really be truthful with someone to help and edify them. Now I can be that friend and have those type of relationships, and it wasn't like that until I came into the faith. And in the world, when you go deep with a person like that, you know, you don't know what the responses would be, and so typically people shy away from that type of thing. But I realized that when I met my sister here in Indiana, that I had truly made a friend, because from the very beginning, she was very honest with me and would say things to me that I'm like, wow, I didn't expect that she would say that. And that was Sister Ashley Miles. And I remember the first time after we had been fellowshipping, and she told me, like, because when I first came to fellowship, y'all, I had on pants and I had on earrings. And Sister Gabby would say I just had on, like, a headscarf, you know, because I didn't know. But after we had been fellowshipping for a little bit, and the only sister I had in Indiana was Sister Ashley, and she said, you realize you still have on earrings, right? And I'm like, okay. you know, so she went there with me, and she would constantly, you know, say things to me to challenge me in different ways, and I would go back there with her, and we would be there together, but we would still be there together. And each week when I would think, oh, maybe they won't show up this week, you know, but they kept coming, and we just kept loving each other, and we kept enjoying each other, and we were really able to have a realness with one another that you don't have in the world. And usually when that happens in the world, when you say challenging things to people, and it went deeper than the earrings, you know, people leave and they don't come back. And that's happened here in the truth, too. People leave and they don't come back. But when you see that you have a sister that that sticks closer, you know, then you know you really made a friend. And so, and that's only been the foundation of the relationships that I've been able to have in this walk. And the sisters here at Goshen, you know, I always tell them all that they are all my best friends. They're my sister friends. And from there, from me and Ashley, the foundation was set on what Goshen sisterhood is built upon. But now we have wonderful relationships here with our sisters, and I love them all dearly.
All right. Sounds good to everyone listening. But let's get past the fluff. And it wasn't fluff. I don't mean that. I mean, sometimes when you talk to women who are victorious in Christ, who don't want to, you know anything about each other except Christ and Him crucified, we talk about how we've overcome. We talk about how we love, how close we are, the bonds we have, the communities we have. You hear the good. You look out from a distance. You admire it. But past the fluff, right, Mother Jennifer? Straight to the point. It's not easy. Now, the way of the transgressor is hard. The way of the transgressor is difficult. So we're not those to kick or buck against the order or against the Father. But at the same time, you have a nature. We all do have a nature. Myself, Chief, I have a show because I'm going through what you're going through. I'm living and perhaps maybe just months or even years before you've been through it, I'm still experiencing the same occasions in the flesh as you all are, the temptations, the trials, etc. It's all our responses that, you know, keeps us different. And so going to you, Mother Jennifer, and with that said, what's your first question for Sister Chris to really even dig into the heart of things, to inquire about the testing and proving of love that she's had as a woman?
Yes, ma'am. Sister Ashley, your point brings up, you know, but it's the fact that every state of victory, so every place that you're in where you get to the point of victory, of walking in love with your sisters, there's a process that takes place for you to actually get there. There are things that you walk through, things that you go through together that have to take place for you to get to that point. And some of them are not pleasant, you know, to walk through. So let's talk about, you know, we're talking about community. So you all moved, you all got together, you bought land, you're living together. Tell me about the process of selling all, you know, when you have saints that you live with, you know, you have women who have had homes for years and they are selling all so that they can live together with other saints. You know, tell us about that process. What was it like for you? Did you experience liberty, or was there difficulty in it, or even other women, what did they experience that you had to actually walk them through and help them with when it comes to, you know, getting rid of things and purging and, you know, really just having the things that you need and not just a bunch of wants? Sister Chris?
Yes, ma'am. Again, my husband is just such a good example to me. And when I saw his zeal, his true zeal for wanting to serve the Father and really wanting to do what the Word said, and he sold all, like everything was gone. And he made videos about it, and he was excited about doing it. It was no holding back. It was no reluctancy. It was like, no, oh, I'm about to sell all. No, he did it with joy, and he would be so excited, and the boys would be so excited. And we were looking for things, like, to sell. We sold it all. And we lived the suburban lifestyle that I thought I always wanted. We had the minivan. I was a soccer mom. You know, like, the boys were doing sports, and I thought that was what we wanted. But as we learned the truth, we knew that, you know, we just wanted to serve Yah. And my husband showed us what that was going to look like, and I fell in line quickly. And I think immediately, you know, selling things, like things that I realized how things didn't matter. So my wedding ring that I thought was very valuable and held sentimental value, it was so easy for me to sell that thing. And the lady I sold it to was just so excited to receive it. And I was just like, good riddance. Like, I cared nothing about that. And it was so easy, really, to move past those things that we had that didn't mean anything, to put towards our life, you know, and servitude to Yah. And so if I could encourage any sister in that, you know, I would just say that those things just don't hold any value when it comes to the kingdom.
Hallelujah. I'm always waiting on Mother Jennifer, just in case you want to say anything else, Mother. I remember looking into wedding bands, and there's a lot of myths and a lot of storytelling behind it. But one of the factual reasons why some cultures adapted wedding rings was, there's apparently, if this be true, there's an artery that runs from your heart down your left arm to your ring finger. At least in their concept, they believe that. I don't know human anatomy enough to prove that, but it was to attach your heart artery, your heart, to their heart, that you would always be together. So truly it was just a sentimental thing, and truly it is just an object that was birthed out of tradition. So just want to share that for anyone listening, because it is a common difficulty for some to get rid of. A lot of women really fear the idea of separation, you know, that if we get rid of our rings, that we are disannulling our covenant or our agreement or our words together. So that's not the case. That's not the case here. So as a lead sister in Goshen, what are some of the personal expectations that you have for yourself as someone who may delegate or communicate? What do you expect out of yourself?
Yes, ma'am. I expect to be what my husband expects me to be, and to do what he expects of me. And that starts with being an example. I'm sorry, I'm hearing an echo.
That's okay. I hear a little bit of, what would you say, a little bit of feedback with your voice, actually. So I don't know,
yes,
if
ma'am.
You hear.
Are you?
Okay. Keep talking, maybe move around a little bit. I'm not sure, because it wasn't there in the beginning of the show, but it's there now. It's just making you a little choppy.
Okay, yes, ma'am.
Oh, yes,
I'll move
yes.
around a little bit.
Okay.
But like I was saying, I just live up to my husband's expectations, because I realize that sometimes, you know, people can put their own expectations on me, or on lead sisters, or what they think I should be like, or how I should operate. But each day, if I know that I am living and doing according to what he would have me to do, then, you know, that's how I know that I've done well. So even with my sisters, like, if I am serving, then I know that I'm doing well. You know, if I can go above and beyond and do something in servitude to my sisters, I expect, you know, that each of the sisters would be very loving to the children, because that's how I would be, and I know that's what my husband would desire. so when I see that love going forth to the children, to the sisters, then I think we're all, I think I'm doing well at that point, because that's what my husband would say.
Very wise answer. I think everyone who is a sister married to a leader would understand what you just said about how others will put their expectations on you, even unknowingly. Jennifer, can you speak to it or even dive deeper into that?
Yes, ma'am, absolutely. You know, a lot of times if you're not secure in your role, you're not secure in your identity, you're not secure in what your husband expects from you, you can find yourself kind of molding yourself around the opinions of others. And, you know, sometimes people can be very opinionated, like you said, without even knowing it. And so you really have to get to the point of asking yourself, okay, what does he desire from me? What does my husband desire? And am I fulfilling that? Is he pleased? And if you can answer yes to that, then you're good to go. But a lot of times if you are insecure in your identity, you're insecure in your role, then you're going to be trying to please all these other different avenues that have nothing to do with your daily duties, your daily obligations, and that's when things can get confusing and chaotic. Very, very good answers coming forward. I do want to ask another question. You know, you mentioned about the children. You know, when you are in a community setting and you're building bonds and you're helping to take care of one another's children, you know, it's a realistic thing because you've got duties that need to be done, and you really have to come together and pull together and make sure that the children are taken care of and making sure that they have what they need. You know, tell us about the process that it takes of establishing the trust between you and another sister so that you can take care of each other's children, the communication that has to take place, you know, just being concrete with each other. You know, it really does take a special level of love to be able to operate in that way. Can you talk about that, Sister Chris?
Yes, ma'am. I think about something that Pastor has said plenty of times, that a lot of the times that sisters don't trust because they can't be trusted. And I think that when you show yourself trustworthy, that others can be able to follow that same example. So, for example, my sister Ajani here, who I just love so dearly, and I trust her wholeheartedly with my children, just as her own children. They are her children also, so much that they will call her mom. And I know that in my absence, in any type of way, that they're going to get the same thing from her that they would get from me. And I'm able to trust that, one, because that's the beauty of this ministry, I think, because we're all under a shepherd who follows Yah, and the expectation is set already from the top all the way down. And so as long as we're all in step with what is already put in front of us, then it's no reason why you shouldn't be able to trust the people that you live with, because the expectations are already out there. And when we have leadership, like I know that we have here at Goshen, you know, Brother Daniel, he sets that standard here, and loving the children and making sure every child is loved and respected. And the brothers do so well in just bringing the younger brothers up with them and teaching them and showing them. And so I always try to do exactly what I see my husband do with the brothers, or exactly what the brothers do. I always tell the sisters, be like the brothers and how they love and how they care for even the children and take the time. And the expectation is that we would do the exact same thing.
Hallelujah. Very, very, very good answer. I do remember Sister Summer speaking on this subject. She made a video with Pastor, and I believe Hiskiah was a few months old, but she talked about the importance of having women in her life, sister wives in her life, that she could trust with Hezekiah, and how important that was, and how she loved the fact that she had the trust and the bond between them, and she knew that he would be taken care of. So it is a very important thing, and I think it's really special to have, and we even have that here in the home of Elder Rufus. So thank you so much for answering that. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. So can we just do an evaluation for a minute and pause? Is it difficult for you, don't answer, answer within your own self, is it difficult for any of you to hear women speak about women? Is it difficult for you to hear me personally speak, or hear Mother Carol personally speak, or hear Sister Chris personally speak? It, you know, is it directed at one person? Do you have a difficulty there? Evaluate. Do you hear what we're saying? Do you hear show after show? Do you hear even Shabbat message, but you can't find things in you that line up with what you hear about? Are you really digging in? Are you really seeing? Now, as a sister who is also, you know, just a delegator, that's it. You know, the expectation on me is to get jobs done, and I'm going to be the one that hears about it if it's not. So I have a great, you know, team with me. I say team, but a great group of sisters, you know, some growing, some grown. And we do that. At the same time, I get to speak to lead sisters, women that are married to leaders. I get to speak to them. I have for years. Some of them are discouraged at the laziness of their sisters. Some of them speak highly, as you hear Sister Chris. So what's the difference? Of course, it all lies individually within each group and what a sister is willing to do or change about herself to benefit the whole. I've talked to lead sisters who, I've talked to sisters in general who are community sisters who struggle to submit to lead sisters because of their flesh. So it goes both ways. How would you instruct them, each of you listening? What would you say? These are, if you want to say, weighty matters, right, amongst us, and we know when to communicate or pass it up. I've also, you hear me use the term right hand. It's simply just a term that I picked up within the ministry. Never knew it before, but it's just someone who, you know, you dump a lot on them and they take care of it. And some of the women in the community who maybe are married to the leader will have a right-hand woman. Maybe it's Ajanee at times. Maybe it's Ashley at times. Maybe it's Alex at times. Alex is a right-hand simply because her husband supports, you know, Brother Daniel too. So you might have this dynamic that you see within your community. And I've also heard of the dishonor, all in perspective, of course, the dishonor that can happen amongst women when you actually hypocritically support the leader or the leader's wife, but you don't support the right hand. So you're not supporting the vision, you're paying eye service and lip service. And that happens too. It's really a show. It's a show, my sisters, that can go down on community or in communities when people are coming together to dwell together. There are people that are mature. There are people that need to grow. There are people that find it easy to submit. I said to Sister Crystal in Florida. They're now Straightway Nashville. Bless you, Sister Crystal. Shabbat Shalom. How's everything going? Lots of highs, lots of lows, she said. Lots of highs. Lots and lots of highs. And that's some kind of heart right there. That's somebody you can say, hey, go do this, and she'll do it. I know her. I worked with her at a feast. I know her. Will she waver? Sure. Once you get your your name thrown out in the ministry, sometimes you're tested too. So bless you. But at the same time, we have some really great women. I'm going to go to the Testaments of the 12 Patriarchs, the book that I brought, okay? I'm going to read to you straight out of the Word. This is why I read, or why I asked you earlier, like, when it comes to evaluating yourself, how difficult is it for you to hear women speak about women? You know, stereotypically, do you lump them all together and they're all the same, or they're all just like you, or they're all enemies of you? et cetera. Like, how do you get along with women, really? Have you been here 7, 8 years, 9 years in the ministry? You still have a really negative or critical mindset towards women. That's not, even though Mother and Jennifer and I speak the way we speak, is to provoke righteousness in any and all of us, but it's not my idea of women. I see their beauty. I can't make show after show about the great things that are inside of women when the word is warning us continually to cleanse ourselves of our ways. So we have to focus on that. That's what's going to make us better. And so this particular verse out of the Testaments of the 12 Patriarchs says, and its verse is, "For evil are women, and since they have no power or strength over man, they use wiles by outward attractions, that they may draw him to themselves, and whom they cannot bewitch by their outward attractions, him they will overcome by their crafts. For moreover, concerning them, the angel of the Most High Yah told me and taught me that women are overcome by the spirit of fornication more than men, and in their heart they plot against men, and by means of their adornment they deceive their own minds, and by the glance of the eye they instill poison, and then through the accomplished act they take men captive. For a woman cannot force a man openly," and then it goes on to speak about a harlot, but it says, "Flee therefore, flee fornication, my children. Command your wives and your daughters that they adorn not their heads and faces to deceive minds." So don't adorn your head and your face to deceive minds, because every woman who pushes these wiles has been reserved for eternal punishment. Beware of fornication. If you wish to be pure in mind, guard your senses from every woman. Command the women likewise not to associate with men, that they also may be pure in mind. Hallelujah. Once again, the 12, or the Testament of the 12 Patriarchs, and that was the Testament of Reuben that I read from. So, Sister Chris, what did you learn about yourself as a woman, and what did you learn about your own heart when you were trying to love another sister or even become friends with Ajani, with Ashley, with Alex, whoever, whatever? What did you learn about yourself?
Yes, ma'am. I learned a lot about myself that I was never challenged to learn before. Like Sister Brittany said, you know, in the world you really don't have opportunities to be sharpened. You know what I mean? And that was the same with me. And so being in this walk, I was able to learn my own wickedness, essentially, or even that I was wicked in areas. And I was able to, from that, get free from those things and continue to get free. And I'm just grateful for being able to be confronted with those situations, to be able to truly see myself without community. You know, I wouldn't have that. And so my sisters each day show me something that I need to work on. You know, it's some, with every conversation you evaluate, and you go back and you have your time with the Father and you're like, yeah, you know, you see those things that are really there. And so I've been able to really see issues and being able to be corrected, issues in correcting one, issues in really challenging myself to do things that maybe I would not have done before, you know, learning new skills. Doing things that I didn't know to do before. And so it's always hard to kind of step out and do something. Like you see the brothers here building the block building. That's something they had never done before. But I see them taking those risks and really putting themselves out there to do a big thing. And so, again, it's just their example has really shown me, you know, that we can do much more than we think we're capable of.
Hallelujah. Mother Jennifer?
Yes, ma'am. Sister Ashley, you talked about, you know, evaluating yourself as women. And Sister Chris and I have had this conversation before about, you know, how when you evaluate yourself, it makes it easier. You know, when you see the wickedness in yourself, it makes it easier for you to actually be able to address or to correct wickedness in someone else. And using the statement, you know, I realized I was difficult to love when this happened. You know, just allowing yourself to see yourself, or I realized that I made it difficult for this sister to love me when I did this, or I realized I made it difficult for my husband to love me when I did this. And it really causes you to reflect on yourself, and it makes it easier for you to be able to correct and see the wickedness in another, because you're not being a hypocrite. You know, you've overcome that, and you have a zeal and a passion to see your sisters set free. So, Sister Chris, can you just tell me about, you know, there's something that happens when you become a lead sister. You have a burden in your heart to see women set free. You want them to succeed. You know, you want them to do well. Can you just talk about that burden, you know, just kind of explain it to those who may not know what that is like? Sister Chris?
Yes, ma'am. You know, when you're in a leadership role, it's certain things that the Most High will show you to confirm why you're in that role. And I think for a little bit, you know, I would seek the Father, and I would want to know, like, okay, Yahweh, you have me here for a reason. You know, I know this role is meant for me, and I would ask him to show me, you know, why or what he has for me in this role. And one thing that I'm really able to see is I can see the things in myself, first and foremost, but I can see the things in my sisters, and I'm like, if we could just overcome these things, how awesome we would be. And I tell my sisters all the time, I'm like, I know we could do anything. It's seven of us here, and I know what we are capable of doing when we're on one accord, you know, when we're truly being vulnerable with one another, when we truly confess those things that we need to confess, when we truly get the deliverance that we need, when we can truly just love how much we would be capable of doing. And so it's like you see those things, you know, and I know that Mother Carol or Mother Jennifer could attest to that. You can see just the beauty in your sisters, and you can just see what we can be capable of if we could just be on that one accord.
Hallelujah. That was beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that. And, you know, it really is true. Like you said, there's seven women, and that number doesn't sound big, but when you're all on one accord, that's all it takes. You know, you can get so much done. Even when there's two in one accord, you can get so much done. The key is being in unity. We are going to take a break, and then we will return after this music selection. So please hold tight.
I'm I love it when you're gone. You're the brain bread for my house for me. I love your presence. Yes, I do. And I regret my way to. I regret all the things I don't wish to. Oh, even if that you did it right for me. No, got you present with me, die for me. Okay, we know you're coming back. Pick up on the plus, but to make a leave your side. I think you just cashed on by. But now you've been married, whoa. So until the day you crack up on the skies, I've been lifting my eyes. Feels cleaned up. Now I know the day.
All right, we're back. Bless you, Sister Chris. Chris Muir, thank you so much for joining us tonight. Mother Jennifer, let's pick up right where we were. What's on your heart during the break? Anything to say or just another question for our sister?
Just really the unity, you know, and how when I hear Sister Chris talk, there's such a balance in her, and it really is beautiful. And it shows that she is approachable, you know, that the women can come and get what they need from her. And it's just beautiful, Sister Ashley. That's all I have.
Hallelujah. Hey, Sister Chris, what have you changed about yourself for the benefit of another sister? And I'm coming off of, like, myself included, you know, finding out what makes it very difficult for someone else to love me. As Mother Jennifer had put it so well, knowing what others have to endure in me, I know a list. As Pastor said before, like, you're not going to tell me anything about me that I don't already know. Like, it might be in your hearts and minds as we form bonds. You might have in your heart or your mind something about a sister that just really grinds you. But if she's being ministered to at all by the Ruach inside of her, then she already knows that's her struggle too, you know? And I think that's going to create a lot of mercy. But falling back to the question, what have you changed about yourself for the benefit of another woman or sister?
So I'm going to throw another one of my sisters out here on this one, Sister Alex. Because she and I have a really great relationship, and it's just growing. And I realize that it's in part to something that I changed within myself and how I communicate. And a lot of the times I'll hold a lot of things in my mind, and I'll think about it, and I'll feel that I need to get these things done by myself, or I need to figure it out. You know, but meanwhile, I was leaving my sister hanging because Alex wants to serve. She's very organized. She's very task-oriented. She has a plan, and she desires to be used, and she wants to use that for the benefit of Israel. And when I realized that there was a communication breakdown between she and I, that's when everything changed, and it was because of me. And so when I began to communicate out loud more so and really be vulnerable to show her exactly where I needed her and how I needed her, everything just started to run so smoothly. And I realized from the top down, when it comes to the sisters here, we all mesh better because of the relationship that Sister Alex and I have today.
That's good. I'm glad you even called names. That proves your bond, because a lot of us need to hear names so that we know we're not just fabricating these, you know, these grinds, these stories, the things that we go through. Names help. Mother Jennifer?
Sister Chris, I wanted to say that you brought up a really good point about miscommunication, you know, and in my experience, the majority of misunderstandings are the result of miscommunication. But I would like to hear more about how, you know, when you and another sister, a right-hand woman, when you two are at peace, when you two are at unity, how it just truly does set the tone for the other sisters that come in. You know, there's an example there for the others to follow. Can you please go into that more and talk about that more? Because it really is so important to have. Sister Chris?
Yes, ma'am. I think, too, with Ajani and I, we have just such a beautiful friendship, and we are at a lot of peace in our relationship as sisters. And I think when people are able to see the peace that's in Brother Daniel's home, that also trickles down. And when I look at Brother Daniel and Brother Rob and their relationship, it really inspires me. And and I was thinking about something Sister Ashley said, just about the way sisters regard the right-hand sister. And I consider the way that that when I see Mother Carol, let's say, when I see Mother Carol, I see Pastor Dow. So when I see Brother, that's just an example, because I know I want to be a reflection of my husband. And when you hear me, it should be like you have heard something from my husband, because I never want to speak outside of that or be outside of what my husband would have for me to say or to do or to be like. So same thing on community here at Goshen. Alex is my right hand. Me and Ajani are like one and the same. Let's say it that way. And Alex is my right hand. When I see Alex, I see Brother Rob. I would respect her the same way I would respect Brother Rob. And I would never, ever intentionally, I hope and pray, ever step over that. And the same way I would regard Brother Rob would be the same way I should be regarding Alex. And I know no sister here would ever be dishonoring to Brother Rob. So we should never show that dishonor towards Sister Alex. And so that's what I think about when it comes to the relationships here. It has to be a tone set from the top on down. And that's exactly what I see with Brother Dale on his right hand, and that's what I would hope the sisters see with me and mine, which is Alex.
Hallelujah. So beautiful. Sister Ashley?
Glory. I don't know. You know, there's a lot I can say about the dynamics of community and delegation. And one thing that comes to mind is how even pastor's home, how his women, his possessions, they communicate to me and even submit themselves to me if I am leading something at the time, a job or whatever. They will tell me if they can or cannot be there. So much for the old, Pastor calls them the old guard, you know, the Grandma Vicky and Sister Tomoko, Sister Diane. They will say when they can or cannot be there, or hey, what can I do for you today? What's the project today? And so there's a lot of support I can come from. And then at the same time, it's not always been support too. It's through the grind of those who don't support that make you a better leader, that make you a better lover of hospitality and help you to adjust, you know. And then at the same time, it gives people that have a hard time submitting to you a chance to change. And so I've definitely dealt with a lot of natures, and it's all for the perfection of my soul, I can say that. And I'm sure we can bring this back up. It's really important to leave feelings out of it. It's important to leave feelings out of your delegations, or but at the same time, as a woman, you're compassionate and you're tender, you know, to everyone's request. But when it comes time to say something, you know, I've really, really watched Mother Carol grow over the years at an accelerated rate, by the way. She is the ministry example. And she communicates very motherly.
If it needs to be tender, it'll be tender. If you need the rod, you get the rod. And I think as we strive in our own lives to be that same balance, you know, you do take into consideration who you're speaking to. And as Mother Carol has always said, you can't speak the same to every person. There are things that would injure someone else and you would hurt or offend someone else with, and that's not your intent. While at the same time, when speaking, you can't fear their offense. And that's part of being a right hand, you know, part of leading. But there is a balance that we can get as sisters that we really need to strive for. I'm speaking to, you know, the growing examples. We're the ones that you heard our names called earlier. We're the ones that we should be changing first. We should be seeing ourselves first. Like Chris continues to sound off tonight and say, because of our husbands. Because that's their expectation. I'm sure they would all say, don't misrepresent me, you know. Don't misrepresent my house as they follow the vision. But, yeah, Sister Chris, how important is it to leave feelings out of your friendships? Or I don't even know your scenarios or the things that you've come across even in community. So just talk to me about feelings in general.
Yes, ma'am. Feelings that is a very interesting topic. And I'm sure you've done shows on feelings and emotions. And, you know, my husband would say, like Pastor would, that they don't care anything about the feelings of and emotions, especially of a woman's, because we all know that it changes like the weather. And I was trying to explain that to the boys one day when just the other day it was like 80 degrees or 90-something degrees, and today it's kind of cold. And I'm like, that's exactly what a woman's emotions, what they're like. And so it's important, especially when you're in a leadership role, not to be swayed by the emotions of us as sisters, because we can really put on very well. And that's not going to get us anywhere. And, again, the brothers here just do an exceptionally good job and just pouring into us. And we actually have the opportunity to train with Brother Dre. You guys know him as Frogman. And I think that elite training that we receive also has shown us, like, how little our emotions matter. It sobered us so well, and really being able to see the world for it's a bigger picture involved. And so at times we really do have to look over the emotions of sisters, you know, to get our minds to where they really need to be.
Well said, Mother Jennifer.
Yes, ma'am. Sister Ashley, I think this is the last question that I have. You talked about really knowing the nature and the character of each sister, and I would just like to hear more about that, you know, knowing the nature and character of each sister that you live with or that you deal with, so you can learn how to speak to each one individually, knowing that you can't handle every single sister the same. Tell me about the process of what it took to actually get to that point of learning how to deal with each sister in a mature way. Sister Chris.
Yes, ma'am. One of the first lessons I learned from Mother Carol when I talked to her about community is just that, you know, you can't, just like Sister Ashley said, you really can't talk to each sister the same way. You can't correct a sister the same way that you would correct another sister. Like some sisters, Mother Carol would say in her own words, you know, that you could just say something very plain and then that sister would be in tears somewhere, and yet you could probably need to go in even more when it comes to another sister. And you have to understand that that all comes from love, because even when you have to go in and go deeper in a correction with a sister, it has to be received in a way that, you know, this is to get your sister's feet from the fire. Like, that's what we all need to know. Like, and I say this all the time, like, before I walk out of my door, I've already decided and declared that I'm not walking out my room ready to catch an offense. You know, I've decided that I'm walking out the door ready to give and receive love, you know, and anything that is going to be said to me, I'm going to receive it, and I'm going to receive it from a place, you know, of love. And when you already decide that before you walk out your room, then you're not going to be easily offended by things. You're not going to, you've already bound up the accusing spirit. So when you hear these things try to come up, you already know it's nothing but Satan. So I just think that as long as we have made the decision each day that we're going to serve Yah, you know, then when you have to go to your sister and correct her somewhere, then you already should expect to be able to do that freely, because you should know that this sister loves you and knows that you love her, and she's not going to be offended by it. And if she is, then that's something that she's going to have to work out with the Father. But I know that I did what I knew I had to do when it comes down to offering that correction, which is ultimately just love, because we know that correction and rebuke is a way of life. You know what I mean? I get corrected and rebuked, and it's up to me to receive it in a way of love. And so that would be the expectation I would have on all of my sisters here as well.
Hallelujah. Very, very good. You know, as you were talking, what comes to mind is, you know, the wisdom that is from above. It's first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And, you know, really learning how to deal with the sisters, you come in a way where it's easy to be entreated. It's easy for them to receive. So thank you so much for speaking on that. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. There's a lot of love required from each of us. But going back once again to the names that I called earlier in the show, there's a lot of love required to hear how we hear, meaning in conversations, how we have to deal with one another or address certain things, how we're talked to by our husbands in order to pass that down or communicate his way. There's a lot of love required out of us. And, you know, to see what we see and not deal with sisters according to the flesh. So no matter how much flesh you may see as a, quote, lead sister, it never justifies your flesh, ever. At the same time, you have flesh that you are in war against, and it opposes you, you oppose it. So I hope we brought, I don't know, what was the goal tonight, Mother Jennifer? What do you think would have came out of tonight's show?
I think we just really wanted people to get an inside look at, you know, one of our lead sisters and just the things that, you know, that they go through as a lead woman, as a lead sister, you know, how they've not reached the state of perfection, but they're walking out perfection, and how, you know, we all need to do whatever we can to support one another, especially the lead sisters, the lead women, as they support the men that are in their lives. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. I'll share a few, like, personal things. I don't really know who or how you might gain something from it, but it keeps coming to my mind. So I've cried many, many, many sincere tears and many nights and days in prayer for many different years about what I may need to change about me, or how I can become who the Father needs me to be on behalf of the people that are looking or listening or watching or hearing from me, et cetera. One thing's for sure is I do not want to be a voice out front. Like Elder Rufus says, yes, you did ask to be that because you said, use me, right, to the Father, use me. And I did do that. But one of the things for certain that I've always, if you want to say wanted, in the early years I was greatly tempted by is I've always wanted a different voice. I always wanted a softer voice and a more gentle tone. because that's how the enemy would, you know, maybe self-accuse me of how disrespectful people can be towards me because of my tone, or maybe because I am too direct, or it's the only way I know how to speak, etc. But he's going to attack each of you as lead sisters. He's going to come at your weak point, the thing that maybe you don't like about you, or the thing that you want to change about you. You know, to be a feminine woman, in my mind, the imagery of that feminine woman also entailed a very soft, gentle voice. That's not true, but it is a beautiful addition to a feminine woman. And I happen to have a bass voice. Right, Chef? Y'all heard her voice, right? She can't change her voice. I can't change my voice. There's many of us that maybe have the alto bass, the bass voice. So that was just one of the things that I want to share that, hey, what do you do, Brother Rob? Control the controllables, right? And so had to get over that because I can't sound different. I can't speak different, sing different. I can't deal differently. So move that aside. But over here in another area, perhaps I can change the thing that's not right about me. As a lead sister, you know, how forward you were with this one when you shouldn't have been, you know, how you dealt with this one, that one, how any of those things. I've cried many, many tears trying to fight my way to perfection, and I hope each of you are. Now, at the same time, here's another aspect. All of us that are, quote, lead sisters, or we just delegate, honestly, all we've ever wanted is our husbands to be the one that was seen, to be the one that was heard, the one that was looked at, you know, the one that was watched. You know, we don't want to take the limelight or take or misrepresent him in any way. And so that was one of my things early on, was that, wow, it's like, you know, my husband is quieter man by nature. And a lot of people just haven't been around him enough to know how much of him is in me. And that's been a huge accusation from the enemy for so many years, that we have a misrepresented home, or that I am out of order because, et cetera. So in the early years, that bothered me a lot more than now. I'm grown out of that. But just so you know, there's those type of personal dealings inside your heart as a lead sister that some things you're just not ever going to be able to kick. It's just going to be that way, and you're going to mature out of it. I hope that helps. At the same time, if you have something in you that you can change, do it for the betterment of the whole. Look at it and weigh it and go, I'm not going to be able to change this. I told you all this story many years ago when I sought the Father about how to deal with sisters. I was in a season of great disrespect and great dishonor. I was crying many tears because I couldn't quite understand why such affliction from women. Why won't you just shut your mouth? Why would you just say yes, ma'am, or do it? Why so much kick? Why so much you got something to say and somewhere else to go and somewhere else to be, and you don't understand that there's 10 more of you? You know, I'm trying to get a job done, and it's just constant affliction from people who were not in a one-minded scenario. And so it really refines you mentally. But I'm on my face about it, if you remember, and I clearly hear the still small voice say, I will offend many using you to do it. And I never ask him again for a different tone or a different, a softer voice. I never ask again because I now understood that I guess that's just the vessel I'm going to be, you know. I'm going to be the one that stirs up conversation that offends many, but I'm not the issue, you know. The Most High Yah is dealing with other people's hearts. So I speak of myself, but I'm really saying it just to help each of you, because I know all of us are changing things about ourselves. And then some things, we as women just need to have mercy on one another and realize that we all have to grow, and we aren't the changers of everyone either. That's not your role. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit does that. Mother Jennifer?
Sister Ashley, I wanted to read a comment that we have in the chat. It says, bless you, Sister Ashley. You are the reason I never got off of Sister to Sister. I first heard you. I'm not sure why, but I hear you even more now than ever before. Blessings to Mother Carol and to shepherd. Bless you, my sister. Never stop, because you never know who you're helping. So hallelujah.
That's very, very, very encouraging. Thank you for those words. I really, really appreciate it. We all need encouragement, right, Brother Daniel? Hallelujah. That's something he believes in. Hey, Sister Chris, you did a great job representing Goshen tonight and a great job representing your husband. It is really what I expect of you. Sadly, we all expect something out of one another, and that's my expectation of you. I expect you to represent Goshen and your husband very well. Can you please share anything as you conclude tonight's show, or maybe share something that you pondered previous to the show that we haven't brought up tonight? Go ahead.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for having me again. One thing that has been in my spirit for a while that I will share is that Pastor preached a few Shabbats ago about the spirit of bondage, and then we heard Mother speak about it on the Sister to Sister show, and it just really had me thinking about the type of bondage that I see within so many of us sisters, and what it came down for me was, I believe that, and I say this as an encouragement for the sisters to be vulnerable and get deliverance and be set free, so that these are not the things that keep us bound. And so I consider how well we are taught here in this ministry, how much we receive from our shepherd, how beautiful the conversations are on the Sister to Sister show. I mean, we have Lion's Den, we have Pastor Corey, we have the Brother segment, and there's so much wisdom here within this ministry. And at times, us sisters who are still being perfected here and immediately believe that this is where we should be. And it's true, we should be that, and we should strive for it, but it's a journey, and it's a process, and we don't need to be in bondage to believing that we need to have arrived in this role of holiness, and we're learning. And I think about Mother Carol, and there had to have been a journey there, same with Mother Jennifer and all the rest of us. And as long as we can be vulnerable to our sisters, and it was a Berean moment where there was a sister who said, I'm just going to fake it till I make it. And that sister is no longer with us. And I don't believe that faking it till you make it is going to get you to the kingdom. So let's be vulnerable and let's confess our faults to one another so that we can be healed. Let's build true friendships. Let's really love like we've never loved before. And I believe we can go so much further, especially with the teachings that we received. And that is what's going to get us to the kingdom. So if there was anything that I'd like to leave us with, is that we would get out of that bondage of believing that we need to have already arrived and just really do the work to get there.
Praise, yeah, that's one of my things, too. It's like, let's not be quick and easy to, you know, cut each other off out of the faith and cut each other's head off, et cetera, because the goal is to gain and to stay together, right? And that's a new concept for everyone, because what did we all do in the world? You cut somebody off, you know? You walked away from some nonsense. But when you're building a family, you can't walk away. You can't walk away, and you wouldn't want her to leave either. You wouldn't want to, just sever someone like I used to. Well, I was the first one. I make a list. I'll tell you. You see this? What is this right here? A sticky note, right? Yep, everybody sees my sticky note. Everybody who I would have kept in the entire faith would have fit on this sticky note. Everyone else would have, what they say, if you picked who you wanted in the faith, it'd be a small list. That's what I'm trying to say. To everyone else, they're your grind, they're your iron, they're the reason why you need to be perfected, etc. So your sticky note needs to get bigger and bigger and bigger, and you just yield and you go, man, I thank the Father for every soul he has added into this family, wheat and tear, because they all serve a purpose. No soul flies through here or comes through here by accident. They just don't, even if it's for a one Shabbat visit. Hallelujah. Sister Chris, thank you so much. Anything else?
Last thing is we always say here at Goshen that we're stronger together. So let's just stay strong together. Hallelujah.
All right. We got something for you, Sister Chris. One, two, three. It's that law, baby. Hallelujah. Bless you, Sister Chris. I know she's smiling. Where'd she go? She probably hung up. I know Goshen's smiling if they heard it. Go on and throw it back at us, Sister Ashley. Go on and, you know, y'all know sometimes after the show, we send some Marcos of us praising. If I could get them to do it right now, it's just not the same, huh, Chef?
Nope.
Can we do it on air? No, it's not organic. It's not organic. Special, Mother Jennifer, conclude the show from your end, and I'll hit it with a song.
Hallelujah. I just want to say, you know, let's just really evaluate ourselves. And a really good thing to ask yourself is, what is it? You know, ask yourself, I realize that it was difficult, that I was difficult to love when this happened. I realize that I was difficult to love when I did this. And you fill in the blank instead of pointing the finger at someone else. Bless you and shalom.
Hallelujah. Bless you. Thank you so much. All right. We only got one more show, my, oh, man. Before what feast?
Before Tabernacle.
What? Next week is my last show, she tells me. Hold on. Let's see. Wow. Next week is the first week of October.
The last week of September,
is my last show because everybody's coming on the land by the 5th. Wow, guys. Hallelujah. If I have one of those GoPros that can ride on my shoulder, look into that, Chef. I'll just take everybody where I go. Y'all just love it. It'd be like that old dining hall camera we used to have where you could just watch everybody in the dining hall all day. Hallelujah. Bless y'all. Hope you got something out of tonight. We all got something to work on. Hallelujah. Hashtag family. I want to give a shout-out to Tia, Giselle, Janice, Nadia, Tammy, and Zana. I've never had little sisters before. I've never talked to anybody like I do Tammy. Tammy's not here to amen that, but Tammy gets it from me. Y'all hear me? And she says, it's easy to take. It's easy. I've never done what I do to you, Tammy, almost every day. I'm on her, right? And she receives it every time with love. Hallelujah. Walks away striving to be better. Bless y'all. Thanks for tuning in. Love y'all dearly. One more week. Wow. Hallelujah. Thanks to Lion's Den. We watch it all the time. I hope you guys are able to catch as much as you can of the ministry. I know it's a lot, but may Yah always get you back around to watching and listening to everything that you missed. If your priority is the word and to stay connected with the people, you'll always make time. But at the same time, I understand you might have a time slot or a life where you're setting yourself apart too, where there's moments of study and things that you're just needing to pour yourself into, like the Shabbat messages. So, hallelujah. Let's hear a song about victory, and we'll be back. No, we won't be back. No, we won't be back. Good night, y'all. What happened here, Chef?
Turn the volume up.
Turn the volume up, she says. Hold tight.
Jesus, take away everything that used to be.
so.
Ads. An ad pops up in the middle of my praise song. That's a beautiful song. Check it out. It's by Victory. It's called Righteous. I didn't say Cheyenne. I should have. Hit the shofar, Chef. You just never know how it's going to end around here.